Welcome to Sweeping the Country one more time. I'm your host, Derek Walker, along with me, my co-host, Mr. Jimmy Carter. Hey, Jimmy.
It's May now, and we're headed toward the summer months, and I don't know if that means anything to anybody. Anyway, here's a question.
Yeah, go.
Europeans have more time.
They do.
Americans have more money. Which is better?
Oh, easy for me.
Money.
Time.
No.
You want more money?
I don't care about time. Yeah, I mean, it's winning, Bear Bryant wrote a book.
Yeah.
Winning isn't everything, but it beats whatever comes in second.
Fair. Fair. But the one thing
And so you have money, you can do anything else.
Except.
You have time, you just have time.
I disagree a little bit in that if you have money, you can't buy time. You could die tomorrow.
The two don't cohabitate well together.
That's true.
If you've got a box of money because you've made ridiculous amounts of money, like these country singers, for example.
Oh, yeah.
Man, this is crazy now. I mean, over the weekend, George Strait played to 51,000 people in Indianapolis.
Okay.
And the gross from that was probably... You know, it was a lot.
Yeah, I'm sure
and
it was. Yeah.
Morgan Wallen played to over 150,000.
Holy cow.
On the weekend.
Wait a minute, back up
so
for a second.
So his gross was $18 million. He was probably getting paid after taxes and everything else. $2.5 million a night, I'd say, was profit for him. That was what went into his, after taxes, went into his account.
Okay, two things you made me think of right away. One, I thought George Strait retired. Is he still?
Well, he unretired because it costs money because you got time, you need money.
Okay, so he's back
in
business.
You know, if you're going to have that much time, you're going to spend it. And he needed more money, obviously, and wanted to do more things with it, so he went back to work.
Okay.
And plus, sometimes people like to work. Now.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
Money, though, you can't go. There's a lot of things that go wrong with money.
Yep, I agree.
You can't run around desiring it.
That's fair.
Jobs should be, and I've tried. My father really made a point of telling me this: don't take a job for the money; it will come back and bite you on the butt.
That is so true, but it's so hard to get through to somebody that hasn't been there yet.
You have to learn. It's like
you do.
You don't know that the top of the oven's hot till you put your hand up
there. Yeah, you're totally right.
But you cannot, you know, when you just, you've got to do, that's why I try to tell people, and we haven't gotten there, and particularly with Generation Z people, I think they just take a job. They work, and they don't like work, and they want three-day work, you know, work weeks and everything else, because they don't enjoy what they're doing.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
You know, they're counting widgets, or they're, you know, painting widgets or doing something that's just, you know, just taking up their time. So, yeah, I mean, you know, the money is, they're doing it to get enough money so they can have DoorDash and whatever else they want.
Yeah.
But they're not liking what they do.
The difference
in a lot of people, if you're, you know, if you got into medicine because you wanted to help people and all that stuff, you can't work enough. Now, there's a time when you work your fingers to the bone. And like we have in broadcasting
over the years,
God knows. I mean, if you took my amount of money that I made over the length of time of my career, which is over 50 years,
which is incredible,
made it a per hour. I mean, I wouldn't even there's people in any third world country that get paid about the same.
Yeah, I hate doing that. You're right, though. I hate going back and going, okay, I worked 54 hours this week. I mean,
oh, Lord, I can't do that because, I mean, when am I not? Where this weekend, that's why I'm kind of bringing this up.
Yeah.
Because my weekend starts these days Friday morning at about 9:30.
That's kind of nice. Okay, yeah.
And it resumes Sunday midday for 3 or 4 hours in the day at least because I've got to work on Sunday to be prepared for Monday.
Yeah. Yeah. Broadcasting is
that way. It's kind of like people who write for the Monday morning paper in the old days. They used to have to go in on Sunday because they had to write the Sunday paper on Monday. You write the Thursday paper on Friday.
What happens
so
to you in
Friday? Friday, you're off because you don't have Saturday.
That's
Saturday,
right.
You're off because you don't have Sunday.
What happens in broadcasting is you get two half days and one whole day. You get half a Friday, you get half a Sunday, and you only get one day off, which is Saturday.
Saturday.
That's it.
That's
There's
correct.
No way around
it. And I've worked jobs where I was producing newscasts where I didn't get off work until 10:30 or so or 11 on Friday night.
Oof.
And so, okay,
you didn't get that.
So I've got Saturday and Sunday and part of Monday, but Monday you're just thinking about the whole time is you got to go to work by 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
You know?
Have you ever?
And so you don't really enjoy that day, but you can use it for running around. I mean,
have you ever had a job?
Trying to find the time. Yeah. Ideally, you want the time and the money, but it's rare to bring them all in the same place. But I think some of it goes back again. If you can find, there are great sayings about this, none that I can remember right now. But, you know, if you're doing something you love, you know, time goes by.
You won't work a day in your life. That's one of them.
You won't work a day in your life. Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah. I mean, and that's true. I have to say that is true. And I think some of it, you brought up Gen Z, and I don't even know my gens. I don't know what is Z and
that's
X
the youngest ones. That's like 18 through 23 or something.
I'll even put it up a notch to the next generation, whatever that is. I don't know what they are, but
well, whatever
X or whatever. I think I'm X, but anyway, the younger generation, I think the work from home and the COVID thing kind of messed that up in the sense
the world has been screwed up by COVID. No,
yeah.
America, when it comes to, you know, when you get the Goodyear blimp, if we live that long, if the country lasts another 100 years, when you look back on it, COVID is going to be as big as World War II or World War I or the Civil War.
As far as its effect, I agree.
As far as its effect on America.
Yeah, I would agree with
that. Because it completely changed everything, just like World War II did. World War II changed everything about people.
Yeah, and it
killed people. It changed people emotionally that went to the war.
Yeah.
It changed people here that couldn't go, that worked in factories and things like that. It made them, you know, I mean, they had to sacrifice. Mm-hmm. And COVID, you know, took out a lot of people, particularly in like New York and places like that.
Yeah, there were heavy
watching
spots.
The coverage from, there were definitely hot spots. And watching that coverage of how many people were dying and all that stuff was scary.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you 100%.
And I think, and everybody was probably isolated a little bit. It came to where I was much later. When it came with vigor.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was months before it really filtered down to where I was. And once it got down there, it filled the hospitals up just like everywhere else.
Yeah, yeah.
And all of that.
No, I think you're right. And I think what happened there is this, everybody went to working from home. Now, a lot of the states now are starting to say, hey, you got to be back in the office, because there are some rules for income that over the years, you and I know them because you've been private contracted before for your services, and you got to spend X amount of time either at the facility or at your home office to deduct the taxes and all that kind of stuff. And so they're starting to come back around and say, hey, you got to come back into work. And I think that whole generation that never had to go to work, it's a little hard to understand. You got to clock
eight hours. And, there's an old quote for that one, too.
Yeah.
And it's, you can't unring a bell.
There's a lot of truth in that. Yeah, I agree.
And you can't, we rang a bell for COVID, set up all this stuff. And as a teacher, I hated it. And I never went back. I never went back teaching after COVID.
That's a huge change. I mean, think about that. That was part of your
livelihood. I never went back. I mean, it just changed me. It turned me against what I was. I don't like this. I don't like doing it like this.
You think it would be fair to say?
I get no satisfaction from doing this. It was bad.
Yeah, I was going to say, you think it changed, besides just our attitudes and our actions and all that, I think it changed a lot of our priorities and outlooks on things. I think you weighed stuff, like you were talking about money or time. I think you weighed that spending time with my family. How important was that when COVID hit? It was super important. I mean,
it was important, but then we I think a lot of marriages broke up because of that.
They sure did.
They were spending time with their family.
That is true.
A lot of people didn't like too much about what they were doing. They didn't want to see him.
Yeah, I do remember that.
He was home too much or whatever.
That's true.
I don't know. I just started thinking about it. I mean, I was looking at this here, this statistic on that's been concerning me. We may have talked about it on here before, but I hadn't seen these facts. This is from an article I was reading about newspapers.
Yeah.
And that, let's see here. It's just some ridiculous. All right. A generation ago, almost 500,000 people were in the newspaper business alone as journalists.
Now what
is it? 500,000 people, 500,000 people. Now more than two-thirds of those jobs have vanished since 2005.
Wow.
And they will continue to vanish in the coming decades as additional newspapers and magazines falter and slip into the publication's graveyard.
That's true. I mean, that is so true. I've noticed
Well, and again, it's, you know, what's the root of all, you know, COVID was a symbol of change. It changed how we did a lot of things, basically.
Oh, yeah.
And so it changed our habits. Habits are hard to change, and it changed our habits. Now, with the internet and the growth of the high, you know, when you think about AOL, I still laugh. Remember all that?
Oh, yeah.
You've got mail.
Jeez, we are.
I mean, that
ourselves.
Was so prehistoric.
It was
compared to what we have now.
Yeah, it was
on some 1 gigabyte line, which I'm on.
Yeah, yeah.
It was ridiculously, you know, all that's changed. But even before that, you know, I look at my life, and I say, well, you know, when I started in television news, we were just getting, I think, electric typewriters.
Wow. And
we were just getting them because, I mean, they were very picky. We had IBMs.
Oh, yeah.
And people would steal the ball.
And
you'd have to go keep the ball, you know, with your own or hide it somewhere.
Those were awesome. No one
could use your typewriter because you didn't have a ball in it, so you couldn't use it.
Yeah.
And I think about that, you know, and I remember as a young radio reporter in the mid-70s, yeah, I was covering things. I was covering probably the 10th anniversary, in fact, I'm sure it was, of the Selma to Montgomery March.
Wow.
And in and around that time, there were commemorative marches from Selma to Montgomery.
Yeah.
And there were also commemorative protests from the Ku Klux Klan and other hate organizations.
Wow.
And I remember going out and covering multiple times those things.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have cell phones.
So what did you do in that?
I remember going and doing I wish I had the recording of it. Maybe I do on cassette and I lost it.
Yeah.
But because I remember I went out in the car and listened and recorded it. I was the lead story on NBC Radio News.
I'll be dying.
Covering it.
Yeah.
And I did what they called a phoner.
Okay.
And it was like 20 seconds or whatever it was. You know, Alabama State Troopers line US 80 as, you know,
Yeah.
Jim Carter for NBC News, Montgomery, Alabama.
Now, when you say a phoner, what is that exactly? Were you on a
phoner? I called New York on the phone.
Yes.
Where did I get the phone?
Right.
I had to go into the Colonial Bread plant that was on US 80 and go into the manager's office. Was the first phone somebody could get me to. Bread was going over my head in this glass office while I was doing this phoner for national story, international for that matter, for NBC Radio
How
News.
How wild is that? You That's know? Crazy.
And I mean, but you had to go find a phone where you could.
Yeah, yeah.
And some pay phones were better than others for doing radio. I remember some phones were just crappy.
The
sounded
quality,
terrible. And some phones sounded great.
That is fascinating. You know,
and I was doing phoners back in those days. I did it for NBC and I did it for CBS and ABC. I remember NBC particularly. They used my voice and not just something I had gotten, which, you know, just hearing myself on NBC radio news was just in Montgomery, Jim Carter, NBC News, something, you know, whatever else.
How great is that?
That was cool.
Yeah.
But, you know, but who gives a crap now? I mean, nobody cares. No one even knows what that is. And the NBC radio news doesn't even exist anymore. CBS does. I listened to CBS News on the Hour the other day.
Yeah,
it's still there.
We use CBS and ABC.
CBS radio news.
Yeah, we use it all the time.
Derek Walker reporting.
We use ABC also has a service.
Still going?
Yeah, for radio.
And I fed a lot of stuff to ABC, and I've got all these letters from them thanking me for the feed, you know, and I'd send them sound bites of stuff. And
it's so funny that you say that. It's so funny that you say that, because I was just thinking the other day as I was selecting, because I'll build promos and things like that for the station that I work with, and I'll build them, and I'll go to ABC News, and I'll go to CBS News, and I'll go through and I've gotten to the point where it's like Stephen Porknoy or somebody like that, and I'll say, oh, he's real good. He's like, so if Jimmy Carter were on the list, I would be going to Jimmy Carter. You're my go-to. to, because you always are very succinct. The story is tight. It's 15 seconds, yeah. And I got the whole thing. Not every newscaster does that. Sometimes they build this lengthy story that's 2 minutes long, and I can't possibly cut it up.
No.
But the people that are quick, that are good, that do these great quick 15-second fully encapsulate, I use them every day.
Man, I used to have all these phone numbers, and maybe I still do,
yeah,
in my scrapbooks with all the important phone numbers. Like, there was one called the Flash Line.
Uh-huh. What was
at
that?
ABC?
Yeah.
Where you could come. You didn't call that.
Yeah.
Unless it was the president shot or
something big.
Like, yeah, that. You're going to call the Flash Line.
That's wild.
And then there were the hot, you know, regular in-studio record lines,
and
it was all that stuff. And now it's just so different and better, really, in many ways.
Well,
but unfortunately, you know, like they said here, because of the internet's when the history is going to be written about that,
yeah,
it's going to be like penicillin in importance.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, it is.
It's going to be huge. I mean, it changed everything about our lives.
Well, you know,
everything about our lives.
So your story out in the field, having to go find the phone. Now you're holding it. Now your satellite link up. Now the story.
Well, I had to write it, and I wrote it.
Yeah.
And there was no word processor. There was no,
none of that.
I had to write it out. You know, where I could read it, hopefully.
Yeah.
You know, on a legal pad or some kind of reporter's notebook. And, you know, get it there quickly,
yeah,
you know, to the thing, and, you know, keeping in mind that the news is at the top of the hour,
and
you know,
it,
and if
it,
I was going to expect to get on, I probably had to get that to them around 20 minutes after the hour, probably.
Isn't that crazy? I don't think people understand. You know, I mean,
we lived in moments and minutes.
Yeah.
Oh, it's crazy.
I don't think people understand, you know, the amount of work that was laid, and you say people don't know, and they don't, but it is still an important part of the foundation that got us where we are now. All of the going into the bread plant and making that phone call built the structure for, hey, we got these satellite phones now, or we got these recording devices and a cameraman,
yeah,
with you, and we're going to transmit that up into the atmosphere and send it back down, and it's going to be on TV.
I mean, some of this is amazing, but then, you know, we've gone backwards. I mean, there was a time when I was doing stories in an entertainment, we had a camera person. I mean, we had me,
mm-hmm,
and then we had a camera person.
Yeah, that's right.
And then we had a sound person that just handled the audio portion of it. And then we had a field producer many times.
Jeez.
It would help you, you know, just help you,
yeah,
you know, be another part of your brain. And okay, that sounded good. Let's do it again, or one more time, or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, many thousand things the field producer did, gathering information and helping you,
yeah,
while you're strapped in.
Yeah.
They can make a call for you or whatever. And then sometimes we had even a fifth person, which was a lighting person that,
wow,
handled the lights. And now you're lucky to be yourself out there. They call them citizen journalists, but
neighborhood.
Whatever they call them, multimedia journalist. MMJs, multimedia journalists,
you know,
where they're toting the camera and around and trying to shoot and
themselves.
Do stand-ups for themselves, you,
yeah,
know, out there. It's like a selfie, a giant selfie. And it's just the quality of it is, you know, terrible. We were doing things that looked like, you know, Spielberg had shot it. But
yeah, no doubt.
Now it looks like The Shark, you know, has shot it.
Yeah, they started doing something in our neck of the woods now where they call them neighborhood reporters. And I think they're like part-timers that pop up when there's a story and they run out there and they get paid for the story or something. I don't know how they do it, but they pop up with their
iPhone. Well, there was always, there was a great movie with maybe Jake Gyllenhaal. You may know if you ever saw it.
Yeah, I remember him.
About the overnight.
Oh, night crawler.
Yeah, something like that, where he was
an overnight
guy like in Los Angeles.
Yeah, I saw that.
You know, would shoot wrecks and shoot murders and whatever,
yeah,
else, 2 and 3 in the morning,
yeah,
and then take it into the news station at 4 or 5, and
yeah,
they'd either buy it or they wouldn't buy it.
That was,
you know,
crazy.
Because they had footage.
That movie.
And that's true. That was a true story.
Yeah.
You know, those are stringers. They were ultimately called stringers. I was a stringer, like for NBC.
Were you?
Like,
really?
You just call up and do it. I mean, they're not going to put anybody on the lead story at NBC,
yeah,
unless they used this person before,
yeah,
or they had somebody, maybe he's fed them, you know, material before. You were a trusted person,
yeah,
that did it, you know,
yeah,
and because they had to make, you know, there had to be some trust that you were telling the truth.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, that you were not, you know, I don't even know how you gain credibility. Now, that's a whole nother discussion for another time.
I don't either. I
mean, just call somebody from the bread plant and expect to go on NBC News.
I'm here at Wonder Bread, and I've got a story for you, a murder story.
Oh, but just, you know, so many things like that in radio. Radio was so urgent and immediate. But, I mean, looking at these jobs now, it says advertisers learned internet advertising was much more effective and often cheaper than print. You know, I don't know if that's true. I think that's going to be a big sham before it's over with, too.
Yeah, I think so.
You know, the internet, I think, has been sold. I think a lot of people have bought that and they didn't get crap for it.
Yeah,
I think
people are used to flipping by now. You know, there used to be a time we said, oh, you get a brand impression. If you put your logo in the front of their face, they see it, right? Now what happens is it pops up and you go, that's an ad. I don't even know what it is.
Oh, yeah, that's
an ad.
That.
That's an ad. I don't want to see it. I don't want to see it. So I think to a certain point, and I've also noticed in radio and television, there's a trust element that's not necessarily on the web. So you are Jimmy Carter for NBC, let's say, or you are for ABC or whatever. You have built a relationship with the audience that whether you think you have or not, they think they know you. So there's a trust that you have that when you say, oh, go to Pedro's, the food is terrific.
Well, after a while, you do build that with people.
Yes,
they've tried it. They say, he told me about this, and he was right.
Right.
Dang, if he says it again, I'm going to listen to him.
Right. And there's
that's how I got with my movie reviews. I think that I generally did people right by that. I didn't send them these hoity-toity movies, you know, that all the critics loved. I never sent people to that because my mission from my boss and later my own was to do movie reviews for people who work for a living, for people who were like some plumber or some air conditioning guy that's been up in a hot attic all day. He wants to take his wife or children to something, and he's trying to figure out what to go see.
Yeah.
And this critic has told him to go see this, and they go see it like that movie Civil Wars. That one of my buddy George.
Oh yeah, I know George.
He texted me and he was so mad that he had paid to see that movie Civil Wars this weekend. And I wish I'd even put more about it on the Facebook because he didn't see my review.
He didn't like it.
I was one of the
it.
Most hated movies. Oh, he hated it. Yeah. He didn't just dislike it, hated it. I hated it too. Yeah. That was one of the most hated movies I've seen.
Well, I haven't seen it because
of
you.
Angry, it was so bad.
I haven't seen it because of you.
You don't want to see it.
No, I agree. And I think, you know, you talk about that the cinematography and blah, blah, blah. I could care less. I don't even know what it is.
That's great. I mean, if you want to do it for that purpose.
Right.
But if you're going to tell somebody they got to spend $50, $75, you know, to take a date, and that's about what it costs if you're going to get a babysitter and go to a movie, it better be, if you said, now this is great, blah, 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 it better be. And it's that way really in television shows, I think, to some point.
Yeah.
I really like that TV show Tracker. And I would have no trouble recommending that to anybody.
Oh, that's
I think
new
it's
one.
Smart,
yeah.
It's well written, and it's enjoyable.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people have gotten snobby in their TV viewing, where they can't seem to watch if it comes from one of the networks. Oh, that's nothing. I got to watch. It's only got to be on Netflix. Netflix has a lot of garbage.
I'll tell you
I mean, it's where someone has gone to the city dump and dumped the entire ingredients into a bowl.
And said,
and you can pick out what you want. But it's mostly garbage.
You know,
it's mostly
Jimmy,
crap.
I think there's a real opportunity for network television right now to put out some quality material, which they are doing. Some of the stuff they put out is good. I like it. I watch Ghosts. It's a sitcom. The Tracker, I've seen one episode. I think it's fantastic. There are shows that I watch on television that I think are better than Netflix, Amazon, Apple.
Well, they are. I mean, you know, but the only problem is they're trying to be woke, and they hit you on the head with wokeness all the time.
I think that's a mistake.
Some social agenda that these addled screenwriters are trying to do these rooms. And people see through that now.
Yeah.
They're tired of
it. I was going to say, do they think people actually don't understand what they're doing? I mean, because it's
they used to be in a book that was great, and I remember taking it in school, mm-hmm. called Subliminal Subduction.
Ooh.
And it's when you had a lot of print ads. And it was some kind of, you know, they would get psychologists and even, I don't know if it's psychiatrists or psychologists, and help them design the ad. And they'd put some kind of funky thing, like they'd have an ice in a whiskey bottle, you know, in a drink, and it'd show the ice. And there would be some kind of subliminal naked woman shape in the ice.
Oh,
and
seductive.
You would see that in your subliminal mind, but you didn't see it outright.
Wow.
I mean, it's so... there was a lot of interesting things that went on years ago in advertising.
Well,
you know,
I think it's still going
like
on.
The jingle. The jingle was something that was so effective. Why this generation is don't like, I don't know. Occasionally it comes back. Mm-hmm. It's like the TV theme or the jingle. You know, everything in advertising seemed to have a jingle, whether it was an airline, a soft drink, a car, see the USA in your Chevrolet.
Yeah. Have a Coke and a smile. Creativity. Remember that?
Yeah. I mean, it was everything. Cigarettes had it. Winston's taste good.
Yeah.
Like a cigarette should.
Yeah.
You know, and Rice-A-Roni, the San Francisco treat. How much Rice-A-Roni did they sell because of that?
I still remember the Big Mac, two all-beef patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun. I mean, that was...
You deserve a break today at McDonald's.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, those things were great, and
clearly,
they sold a lot of product for these people.
Yeah.
But now, it's the even advertising, you know, it's terrible. It's boring.
Yeah, I would
advertising,
agree.
You know, I remember there was a time when program directors and radio stations would program the commercial breaks.
Mm-hmm.
You'd put the most boring commercial on first, and then you'd put the one that was the singing one, like a Coke commercial, something last, and go in a jingle record, because you think people had the most tolerance for the first 30 seconds.
Right.
But it better be something a little more
then
interesting
they got shorter.
For the next 30 seconds, and even more interesting after that.
Yeah.
So there was a
That's
time they were programming commercial breaks. But, you know, it's just people... Their tastes are different. People grow up, they change. Like they said, our Europeans have more time.
Yeah.
Americans have more money, which is better. And they're both good. I mean, you wish you had more time. And when you have that time, you wish you had more money to enjoy the time. Maybe a little different.
I agree with that. There's a movie out, and I can't remember the name of it. Maybe you do. It's a sci-fi. And the movie was you had the time left on your arm that you were going to be alive, and it would tick down, and you could watch it tick down. But you could also buy more time. If you had money, you could buy more time. And so people were trying to get money feverishly to add time, or they would take it from other people. And so people were getting killed for their time.
Ooh.
Oh, it was really interesting. But the whole concept was fascinating to me. And I do think, you know, does money buy happiness? I don't think so, but I'm willing to find out if you want to give me some.
Money can't buy me love. You know, Beatles said that.
Yeah, that's right, too.
I'll buy you a diamond ring, my friend, if it makes you feel all right.
Yeah,
I don't care too much for money, but money can't buy me.
Yeah, I mean,
I was looking here. It said households wince at rising price of going green. I think people are getting fed up in a lot of ways, whether it's not enough time, they want more. I think these weekends are too short. I'm about ready to go with them on having it one day longer on the weekend or something.
That's European.
Friday, next thing you know, it's Sunday afternoon.
No,
but
I agree. So I'm going to say something.
People are getting tired of this green business.
I'm going to say something.
Just going green.
About that right now is not going to be popular, but I don't really care. I don't care because I'm upset about it. I got my, you know, we moved to a new area and I got my trash can, right? I get my trash can, costs, I don't know, $30 a month, $40 a month, whatever it costs. I don't even know. It's $90 and I pay it every, I think, 3 months. So, which I think is expensive, but I don't know. So then they asked, do you want a recycling bin? And I said, yeah, sure. What is, I just recycle in it. It doesn't no charge, right? Oh no, it's $12 a month. Wait a second.
To recycle.
It's $12 I have to pay you to give you something you make money off of. I'm not doing it. And I am the only one on my street, the only one that doesn't have the blue container.
And see, when
and we I don't care.
But we found out that they were throwing this stuff away. They were all mixing it in.
They were.
At the big place. So it's all a bunch. It's a scam.
So guess what? You just got charged for them to mix your trash when they get to the trash place.
Right.
So
I mean, this is so much bumfoolery with all this green. And the same way with the electric vehicle.
Yeah.
That was, people are seeing the light a little bit on some of these things.
It's going.
And that's a good thing that they are. Now, this AI business.
Oh, boy. Here we go. This is rough. This is going to change news, too.
I'm looking at a picture here. The royal family imagined by AI in 30 years. And it's William abdicates and Harry's divorced. Well, I have no trouble believing that could happen.
Either.
30 years. You know.
Yeah, less than that.
And it shows William's wife as the queen.
Yeah.
And she looks a lot like Queen Elizabeth.
I'll be darned.
So. Yeah. And how the AI has aged people, show you what people look like when they get older.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, you know, this AI Randy Travis song, Have you heard it?
No. What AI?
Oh, you
Randy
need to hear. That's been the most discussed thing in country music, at least anyway, and really in music. CBS Sunday Morning on May the 5th did a story, and you can find it. YouTube should have it.
Okay.
Paramount Plus has it. CBSNews.com has it. I put it on my Facebook. But it Randy Travis can't sing anymore.
Yeah, well, he had a massive stroke, right? I mean, he had a stroke.
He had a stroke and had part of his brain taken out and everything else.
Yeah.
And so he can bring some words together difficultly and that type of thing. But he certainly can't sing, you know, like he used to. Well, the AI machine thing, I'm going to try to explain this simply as possible.
Yeah.
Listen to all the songs that he had cut, I think 40 or 50 songs that they let him listen to that gave the computer a good idea of what he sounded
when,
like.
When he could sing. Yeah.
Right, when he could in the old days.
Yeah.
Hit records and everything else.
Yeah, yeah.
40 or 50, 60, 70 songs.
A lot of hits, yeah.
So it learned all its speech patterns and had style and all that stuff. Yeah. And then they had a guy take a song that was a very good song that somebody had recorded once, but it just, you know, there are a lot of good songs out there in the world.
Yeah.
And he was an opening act for Randy Happened To and had a similar style.
Mm-hmm.
So he went to the studio and they cut the band and he cut the song. Then the AI took his voice out of the song, but kept all his intonations and, you know, up and down, and, you know, and all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And then laid in Randy's voice on where his voice was.
Could you tell?
No, it's a beautiful song.
Ooh.
You got to hear it. It's really, really something.
Now, this is interesting in a couple ways for me because, one, he cannot sing anymore. So for me to go, okay, Randy could.
No, people saw that Carrie Underwood listened. That's the CBS story. That's why you got to see the CBS story.
Yeah, I'm going to do that.
Because she listened to it. And she said, how did you do? You know, and then Clay Walker, I mean, everybody, some people started crying.
Yeah, right.
I mean, it's the craziest, craziest thing.
But it's cool in the sense that he can't perform anymore.
Well, he got his voice back for that song.
Right. But what's not cool is the people that do have their voice still can be mimicked.
Well, it
and
is.
I don't know if
that's,
I like
you know,
that.
There's some laws that are being passed about that. One was called the Elvis Act that was passed recently in Tennessee.
Okay.
Where some unscrupulous person can't, you know, go in there and steal somebody's voice.
Yeah.
And or whatever they could do. We don't even know what they can do. This is the first example of AI someone has really broken down and seen. AI is being used every hour of the day in the world of photography.
It's being used
They're
in everything.
They're AIing
yeah.
the crap out of everything.
Yeah. I mean,
I've seen some of these things that I've wanted to buy actually, and then I just haven't because it's these different, you know, photo post production things where it's unbelievable what the outcome can be with your basic picture.
It's weird though, because Jimmy, when you take the picture, it's actually what happened, right? There's this commercial on TV where there's this guy and he's tossing his daughter up at the beach. He's throwing her in the air. Have you seen this? And he stops everything and he takes the daughter and he moves.
Oh, yeah.
And I think to myself, well, that's not real. That's not what happened.
No.
And I want to see what really happened.
Star Wars. You know Star Wars.
Well, that's true. But if you send me a picture of yourself petting the dog, I expect that to be real. Now I can't even think that's real. Now I got to question whether you even have a dog.
True. I mean, you don't know. I mean, anything you see, I don't know how any legal thing could ever now.
I don't
know. You know, your voice is on a tape. And see, that's what people are scared about.
Yeah, I am.
AI.
I am a little bit. Yeah.
Well, here's another AI deal. I just read this one. I knew about it a little bit. I didn't know. You know, the military's had some of this stuff for a long time.
Longer than we know.
We
just
did, and they, you know, they had the internet before we. The internet was created. I think I'm right. Part of the reason the internet was created, the World Wide Web or whatever it is, was created was to help them with the building of the atomic bomb. It linked laboratories together or something. I don't know how that all works.
Fascinating. Okay.
But anyway, there's the military always gets stuff first.
Yeah, for sure.
That's just the way it is. But in 2028, the Secretary of the Air Force said there will be 1,000 AI-only fighter planes put in the air that do not have a pilot.
Wow. Well, I watched a special where they put one of the Top Gun pilots against AI. and he lost three times in a row in a dogfight.
Yeah.
And the reason he said he thinks that he lost is the AI, I guess, machines didn't have the fear of death.
Oh, the fear of death, that's true. And also they don't have the G-forces.
They don't feel any of that either, yeah.
Don't feel anything, which limits what you can do.
Yeah.
You know, the human body can only take so much.
True that, yeah. No, that's true, too. But they would get in a dogfight, and they'd do something unorthodox that would generally cost them their life, but their life has no value, so they don't weigh that. They just say, well, I'm in this situation. Best thing I can do is flip the plane upside down and, you know, hit them in the middle and bust it in half or whatever.
I'm sure they're working that into where it's probably wants to let it. That's the scary part. Yeah. If you can teach it how to sustain and not kill itself.
Oh, there's that too.
And then you've got Terminator. Then you've got Terminator. Yeah. We're off into that future. Science fiction, with the exception of the Jetsons was a very popular cartoon back in the 60s.
Yeah.
And they had flying cars and they had
everything we have now.
So they had a lot of things, and flying cars never really has happened, and it's not going
to. It's coming. Come on, Jimmy, it's coming.
We're not going to have
little
200
drones.
Million people flying cars all over the
place.
We're
going to have little drones, or you get in it by yourself and you'll just go to the Grand Ole Opry and then you'll come home.
It's going to be so far away. If that does happen, it'll be 50 or 100 years from now.
I predict that you will use one in your lifetime.
I don't think so.
Well, let's put a little bet
on it. I don't think things are going to go that fast. There are things that are going to go fast. That's not one of them.
Okay, fine. You can believe it. I'm just saying.
It's not, the big cities can't use that. It doesn't work.
Okay.
That's the thing is, we're not built for a lot of this stuff. This electric car thing would be fine if you lived in a city with electric roads.
Mm-hmm.
Or things that, charge the battery while you drove and all that stuff. And it needs to be planned communities and then build out from there.
Yeah.
Rebuild the country again based on the technology. And it's refitting the country to fit the technology, it's hard.
A big task.
That's why they want people to all live in a tower downtown.
Yeah.
If they can get these Generation Z people to all live in a pile again, it's going to be a lot easier to provide services and everything else.
The other problem I think that you have, and you're explaining it right now perfectly, in the sense that you have to build one fully encapsulated city that uses all this stuff, right? And then build out. But technology is exponential right now. So to keep up, you can't, once you build that city, there's new technology again. And there's new, there's a whole nother way to do it. They went from...
Well, AI is, it's scary in the world of medicine, and I'm sure they're using it now to research things and look at blood work and things like that.
Maybe
it'll be
a cure for
so
cancer.
Smart.
Yeah.
But it's also going to say the probability of this person surviving this operation is 2%.
Yeah.
Let him die.
Yeah, and if in charge, might just let him die.
And you no doubt about it. And so that's where this stuff gets scary.
Yeah.
And it's just all that stuff. And then it's the have and the have nots of technology, which we've dealt with and done it pretty well. I mean, there was a time when only the big city people, had power.
Yeah.
And people out in this countryside didn't get it. Mm-hmm. And then they created rural electric co-ops and other things. Same way with the phone.
Yeah.
And they said, okay, phone company, you're gonna make all this money here. Well, if you're gonna do all that, then you're gonna have to provide service for Billy Bob down there at the other end of the road.
Yeah. Internet.
And they forced people to do that. The internet thing has come very slowly.
It has.
And to get it's going, but I mean, people made fun of Al Gore, and that was really stupid.
Now that
we look back on that, because he said everybody should have the internet, na-na-na-na-na-na.
Yeah, he actually was right. He was right. And I think Elon Musk
right.
had
and
a...
We would have been far better off. But again, people want to resist technology.
Yeah.
So you don't want to be it's like the electric vehicle. You think that I'm saying, well, you're just being a buffoon and a backwards jackass if you don't want the electric vehicle. Well, it's not ready for prime time. That's my problem with
it. I like the electric vehicle.
I drove
a
Chevy
Volt.
It's
cool. Yeah.
And it was cool.
Yeah.
I liked electric golf carts better than gas golf carts.
Yeah.
But again, the battery technology hasn't improved that much.
So
even in this, it's what held back the space program. They can never figure out, and we still can't really, how to lithium batteries are great and all this stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But we're still having trouble capturing electricity and storing it for any length of time.
You're right. And I will say this. You never went to my place that was on the golf course. We had an electric golf cart. And we used it for about a half a season or a season, put new batteries in it, did the whole thing. We drove it toward the end of the season. We could only play 12 holes of golf because the thing would run out of battery. And I bought new ones, another $800. By the time I was done putting batteries, I could have bought another gas cart, you know, a whole cart, which would have run for 10 years, you know. So I don't know about – yeah, I agree with you. It's just
not there. It's just not ready for prime time And we know they put out for the planned communities. If they'd have kept it in certain cities, certain places, it would have worked.
Yeah,
it would have been fine.
Yeah,
but when this long distance, this country is big and spread out.
Yep,
not ready for that.
Yeah,
so
no, you're right about it. You're right about it. Okay, but anyway, one more time.
It's just been interesting. I didn't even get into this political correctness reading about this. If you're a journalist, of the AP style book has so many words and things you've got to avoid, and the way you describe people and everything now.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Capitalizing certain words, and now that you didn't used to have to capitalize or not capitalize.
And all the different, I'm just a guy.
Yeah.
You know, but no, there's all kinds of flavors of guys and all kinds of flavors of other things.
Fascinating stuff.
Yeah.
Well, we can get into it next week. And I one more time, what is the show that the Randy Travis AI
PBS Sunday Morning, which is a great show.
Okay.
It's like 60 minutes.
I'm going to go look when we're done.
Both are excellent. And you really need to find that Randy Travis thing. But if you know somebody that's a teacher, again, have them get a... have them get their phone and record. I don't care how you got to do it, where you can show it in class, because it's one of the best ways I've ever seen of explaining how AI really works into something.
Okay.
And how unbelievable freak out, you know, it is. And whether it's in photography, if people knew what the original looked like and what the AI picture looked like, you're saying, well, that can't be. They're doing something with it. Well, maybe they do. I mean, I was looking at all these ads that come up when I'm looking at photography, and it's, wow.
Blows your way. Yeah, I will look that up. Jimmy, always entertaining, good stuff today and every week right here on Sweeping the Country. Until next week when we do it all again, I'm Derek Walker. He is...
I'm Jimmy Carr.
Good day.
Good day.